You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire.
Up next, I have a piece on Te Tiriti o Waitangi. Te Tiriti is both a highly influential and highly misunderstood and contested document here in Aotearoa. I spoke to PhD candidate Brian Mead of Ngāi Tahu about what it means when someone refers to the treaty as opposed to Te Tiriti in the media, business or politics. And I began by asking how, while most people are aware that there are some very important differences between the English Treaty of Waitangi and the Te Reo Te Tiriti o Waitangi, but could she outline what these key translation differences are?
The Wire.
Well, in actual fact, the two documents don't really have anything in common other than they were written around the same date. The Te Reo document, Te Tiriti o Waitangi, comes from a long history of a relationship between the British Crown and Māori rangatira, which outlines, you know, the affirmation of tēnō rangatiratanga or Māori control over their lands here, and grants the Queen of England the right to rule her citizens through a mechanism of kāwanatanga. English Crown looks after English subjects. Whereas the Treaty of Waitangi assumes the ceding of sovereignty by Māori to the English Crown and only full and undisturbed possessions of their treasures, fisheries, forests, homes. So in reality, these two documents don't actually have any content that is similar at all. How could you say that one document that affirms tēnō rangatiratanga is similar to one that says Māori cedes sovereignty? So we actually refer to those as two separate documents, not translations, not versions or anything like that.
So what does it mean when politicians or businesses say they're doing their part to uphold the Treaty of Waitangi as opposed to Te Tiriti? How do these obligations differ regarding which version they're referring to?
Well, a focus on the treaty as opposed to Te Tiriti ultimately works to affirm and uphold colonisation. When you use the treaty as the foundation of the country, you're assuming that Māori gave up their lands and their sovereignty to the English Crown, which we didn't. So if you're upholding the treaty, you're upholding colonisation. Whereas when we look to upholding Te Tiriti, we're acknowledging the historical truth in that Māori never ceded sovereignty, and we built this country on equal, that British looked after British, Māori looked after Māori.
A lot of people don't know, or there hasn't been the education to understand that you are referring to different things when you either say the treaty or Te Tiriti. Why has this happened? Why is it that so many people don't understand that they do mean very different things?
Well, I think it's a long fault in our education system and our social discourse in this country that, again, if you focus on the treaty, you're upholding colonisation. And to focus on Te Tiriti requires our country to have a big discussion on history, on, you know, power structures and what it means to be a citizen in this country today. So it's often easier to refer to the treaty because it doesn't change the status quo. Instead, when we see like Māori be invited to the table by the government, it's a benevolent act as opposed to a right that Māori deserve and have been, you know, that we have deserved since, you know, time immemorial.
The government often says that they are working to uphold treaty principles, but what are these? They're very vague and often they're up to the judiciary. So what does it actually mean when the government is saying this?
Well, our treaty principles, or the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi, come from the 1980s when things really got kicked off in terms of, you know, our state-owned enterprises being sold and, you know, the Waitangi Tribunal being granted retrospective power. There was an issue in the judiciary about, you know, what document do we focus on? So they came up with this thing called the principles of the treaty, which is them, the judicial boards and courts and stuff, trying to find common ground between these two documents and coming up with what is the principles of these documents. So the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi actually assumes that there is a relationship between these two documents, and there are only small translation issues between them, as opposed to a Māori understanding, which is we sign Te Tiriti, the Crown signed Te Tiriti, we only need to uphold Te Tiriti, instead of these vague principles that were determined by five judges in the 1980s that, you know, had no Māori consultation and aren't actually reflective of what we find in 1840.
What do you think it should look like going forward? The way we're currently dealing with it isn't working, and the treaty principles, it's an attempt to simplify a very, very complex issue. So what do you think needs to happen going forward?
I think there needs to be a stronger push on education, on educating people about the differences between these two documents and their historical context. You know, we live in a country where we sort of rely on selective amnesia to get by and not deal with these tough conversations. And, you know, the introduction of New Zealand history into schools as a core curriculum for history is an important step. But, you know, we've got to think about who's telling these stories, because for many years these stories have come from people who benefit from upholding these colonial realities and these colonial myths. And so my strong idea is around education and looking to Māori authors and researchers and academics about what they say is their reality, their understanding of it as well, to get a more nuanced understanding of what happened.
Do you also think that there should be education for the businesses and politicians who perhaps don't know that they should be upholding and referring to Te Tiriti as opposed to the treaty? Do you think that there should be some sort of program for these people as well who already hold positions of power but are perhaps not educated enough in this field to make actual change and progress?
100%. I think that, you know, a government official walking into a position of power in government should have a very well-rounded and deep understanding of the history of our country. And that includes, at a bare minimum, our constitutional the documents that found our country.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.